The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We will now be learning Simon Kuf Samach Vav of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the laws of superstitions and witchcraft. And this is actually one of the most interesting simonim in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. There will be three prohibitions that the Kitzur will be discussing. They are lo sinachashu, which means don't act on the basis of omens, lo seonenu, which means don't act on the basis of auspicious times, and kishuf, which is witchcraft or sorcery. The first two si'ifim in this section will deal with the prohibition of nichush, of omens. The next two si'ifim will deal with the issue of me'onen, which means acting based on auspicious times. And finally, the last si'if will deal with the issues of kishuf, of witchcraft. Halacha Aleph. Ksiv, it says in the Torah, lo sinachashu velo se'onenu. The one may not do nichush, and one may not be a me'onen. Ketzad hu menachesh. What does it mean to be a menachesh? Ha'omer, this is referring to one who says, ha'il v'nofel piti mipi, since the bread fell from my mouth, ol nofel makli miyadi, or my walking stick fell from my hand, o bini karali miacharoi, or because my child called to me from behind me, o rev karali, a bird called out to me, tzvi hifsikani baderach, I was crossed by a deer on the road, nachash mi mini, a snake can be found on my right side, shu'al mi smoli, or a weasel on my left side. Based on any of these omens, lo elech baderach zeh, I will not go on this path, ki lo atzliach, because I will not be successful. In other words, we can't find omens in things that occur to us, and on basis of that, make decisions. A more common example today of this, similar to the case of that a tzvi, that a deer crossed my path, would be that someone saw a black cat cross in front of them. And based on that, they feel that they're going to have bad luck. So it is forbidden to make decisions based on any of these factors or any other factor, because our decisions must be made based on rational thought. We are forbidden to follow irrational omens to determine what we're supposed to do. He gives us other examples. V'chein, elo sheshomim tziftzuf ha'ov, those that hear the chirping of a bird, v'omrim, and they say, yirkach v'lo yirkach, that it will be this way and it won't be that way. Tov lasos davazeh, v'ra lasos davazeh. It is therefore good to do this and is bad to do that. V'chein mi shemevakshin mimenu ma'os, someone who requests money from him, v'omer bivakasha mimcha, I ask of you, hanicheni ato, leave me now, shachosu, it is morning, v'lo aschil tchilas hayom bipera'on, I don't want to start off the beginning of the day with payment, which means that sounds like it's going to be a bad day if I have to start off paying money. Why don't you come back in the evening? I'll pay you then. This is forbidden. Oh, Motzei Shabbos who? Or it's Motzei Shabbos, it's a bad time to start off payment, it's the beginning of the week. Or Rosh Chodesh who? Or it's the beginning of the month. And therefore, to push off paying someone based on the fact that it's the beginning of something, that would be usur. V'chein elu sha'omrim, similarly, would be those that say, Tzrichin lishchot tarnigol zeh mipnei shekara arvis. We need to shecht this particular chicken because it called out in the evening. O tarnigol zeh mipnei shekara kemor tarnigol. Or this chicken because it called out like a rooster. V'chein kol kayotze bedvarim elo. And anything of the sort, hakol aser, all of it is forbidden. V'ha'osa davar midvarim elo, one who does any of these things, or anything similar to it, over belav, he will be violating the negative commandment of lo sinach hashil. Yesh omrim, there are those that say, the im eina omer hatam lomo hu mitzaver lishchot esatarnigolas, o esatarnigol, if he doesn't explain the reason why he is instructing them to shecht this particular chicken or this rooster, ela omer stam, but he says in general, shachatu tarnigolazos o tarnigolze, or he says, just shecht this chicken or this rooster, even though he's thinking the reason based on an omen, in this case, mutar l'shachtam, it is permissible for them to shecht it. V'chein hu haminug, and this is the custom. So, it seems like one could make a decision based on omens that occur, but only if he doesn't express that is the basis for the decision. Halacha beis. Bayis tinok v'isha. A home, a child, and a woman. Afo pi she'ein nichush, yesh simon. Even though we are not allowed to take omens in their regard, but we could find a simon, we could find a sign that something is auspicious. Perish. This means to say, she'im bana bayis, if a person built a home, o nolad lo tinok, or he had a baby born to him, o nosa isha, or he married a woman, im etzliach achakach shalosh palmim, o lo, if he found that afterwards he found success three consecutive times, or not, hu simon lo lahaba. So this would serve as a sign for him about what the future beholds. V'yachol lomer, and he'd be allowed to say, bayis ze matzliachli, this home is giving me success. V'chulu. Or to say, it's a result of the fact that I had this child, that I'm having success. Or that I married this woman, that's why I'm having mazo. V'chein mutar lish'ol l'tinok, ezer pasek lomad. A person is also allowed to inquire of a child what pasuk he's learning, and then to rely on it and to do an act based on it. Because it is considered a little bit like a form of prophecy. Remember that the Gemara says that in this era we no longer have prophecy, but rather prophecy is limited to a shota, to a person who is an imbecile, or to a child. So here's a way to inquire from a child about what pasuk he is learning, and then to view that as an omen. And in fact, we find this being done in the Gemara many times. Yesh omrim, there are those that say, demutar lasos lo siman bedava, sheyavo laasid, that a person is allowed to make a sign about what would be in the future. Kimosha also Eliezer, Eved Avram, just like Eliezer, the servant of Avram did, O Yehonasan ben Shaul, or did Yonasan the son of Shaul. V'yesh Osrim, and there are those that say that it is forbidden to do that. In other words, according to those who permit it, what they're saying is, if not that something happened and I say, oh, that shows me that it's a good omen, but rather I'm making a sign. I say, Hashem, if you want me to do such, then show me by doing the following sign. But in any case, there are many poskim that say it's forbidden. V'haholech b'tom u'boteach b'Hashem chesed yisem aveno. And one who goes wholeheartedly and he trusts in Hashem, so he would be surrounded by Hashem's chesed. Halacha Gimel. We will now discuss the laws of Lo Se'onenu, the Torah's prohibition not to act on auspicious times. So Ezel Me'onen, what is this Me'onen that the Torah prohibits? Zeh Shenosen Itim She'omer Be'itz Tagninus. This is a person who applies times that were said by an astrologer. Yom Ploni Tov V'Yom Ploni Ra. A certain day is good, a certain day is bad. Yom Ploni Ro'oi Lasas by Melacha Plonis. There's a certain day that is particularly auspicious to do a particular type of Melacha. Shana Plonis, or it could be a certain year. O Chodesh Ploni, or a certain month. Ra L'dava Ploni is bad for a certain thing. U'mashenogin she'ein nosin noshin ella b'milo halavana. This that people practice, that they do not get married except when the moon is full. Ein zos b'chlau menachesh u'me'onen. This is not related to the prohibition of nichush or of me'onen. She'ein osim zos ella v'simon tov. But they only do this so that it should serve as a good sign. Kiderach shemoshchen es hamelachim al hamayan l'simon shetimashech malchuso. The same way that they anoint the kings at the wellsprings, so that it should serve as a sign that his kingship should continue to flow. Kain osin l'simon tov. So too they do it that it should be a good sign. Kimosha halavana holachas umis males. In a way that the moon continues to grow and get bigger, get fuller. One should certainly not hold back the marriage because of this. Meaning, if that's the only time to get married, even when the moon is waning, one should do so. And certainly one should not change the date of a wedding and as a result of that have a chuppas nida because of this hakpada. And similarly there's a custom of beginning to learn on Rosh Chodesh, and that's acceptable to do. U'mashanogin she'ein maschilin b'sheni u'barevi yesh matirim gamkein. And this that people have a practice that they don't begin a process on Mondays and Wednesdays, there is also grounds to permit this. So we are now ready to discuss other types of ma'onin. We say in Halacha Dalet, Od Amru Rabbeinu Zichronim Levracha, our sages have also told us, Ezehu Me'onen, who is a person who is violating the lav of Lo Se'onenu, Zeha Oches Es Ha'inayim. This is a person, literally means who grabs the eyes. Pirush, it means to say, Shehu Ki'ilo Oches Einei B'nei Adam V'Sogon. It's as if he grabs, he holds on to the eyes of people and he closes them. Shehu mate osam, which means that he deceives them. We would say in English, he pulls the wool over their eyes. Shenidma lahem ki ilu osa dvarim niflaim chutz miderech hateva. He makes himself look as if he is doing things which are supernatural. Ube'emes eino osa klum, and really he's not doing anything. Ela bekalus yadav ubetach bulosav humat osam. But rather with the sleight of the hand and with his tricks, he is fooling them. V'habadchonin osin kimaisin elo alachasnos, and the entertainers that do acts like this at weddings, over and below, they are violating this love. V'hamitzave lasoson, and whoever is instructing them to do it, over alifnei iver, so they are in violation of causing someone else to stumble. Ulachain, mi sheyesh biyado limchos, therefore anyone who has the ability to object, mechuyav limchos, he must object. V'koshchein, she'asor lehistakel v'lerosod, or the more so it is forbidden to gaze at them, to look at them, aval im nachri osor kein, but if there's a non-Jew who is doing these type of tricks, mutar leros, it is permitted to watch. Halacha hey. Now we are ready to discuss the prohibition of kishuv, of witchcraft. Asur lidrosh b'michashvim. It is forbidden to seek out sorcerers. Ela b'mokam sakonis nefashos, unless it is a situation of danger to life. O imbolo ezacholi ayde kishuv, or if someone became ill through the work of witchcraft, o mikre veruach ra, or through some spell or some negative spiritual force, mutar lehisrape ayde mechashev goy, then he would allowed to seek healing through a non-Jewish sorcerer. But if a person simply has a physical ailment and is not related to any metaphysical force, as far as he knows, he would not be allowed to seek out kishuv in order to heal him. In the Sefer Berchi Nafshi, Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein brings down an interesting story. There was a couple who was undergoing severe shalom bayis problems, and they both felt it was time to get divorced. And for some reason, the divorce process was taking an unusually long time. Eventually, they made their way to a beis din, and the get was written up, and as soon as the sofer finished writing the get, a cup of coffee spilled on it and made the get pasul. At that point, the wife called out, it must be it's min hashamayim, and she says, I don't want to get divorced anymore. The question was that justified? Was she allowed to view that as a sign that was min hashamayim, that it was the wrong thing to do for her to receive a get? Rav Zilberstein said that based on the stories of the Chazon Ish and the Chasam Sofer, it would appear that it's justified. He recounted that the Chazon Ish was once sitting down to eat when some visitors interrupted him. After they left, his wife warmed up the food again. Again, visitors came and disturbed him. His wife was going to warm up the food another time, but the Chazon Ish told her that it's a siman min shemayim, that there's something wrong with the food, there must be something usur about it, and therefore he would no longer eat it. So you see that at times you could take a siman min shemayim, that something should or should not be done. A similar story is told about the Chasam Sofer. He was once writing a teshuva, and when he finished it, a bottle of ink spilled in it. And the Chasam Sofer saw this as a siman min shemayim, that the psak was not meant to be publicized. Based on these cases, Rav Zilberstein argued that there was reason to say that it is permissible for the woman to act on what she assumed was a sign min shemayim and therefore not get divorced. In the Sefer Oz Nidbaru, Rav Binyamin Zilber explains the distinction between the different cases of finding omens. He says, in the case of that Chazal mentioned, where bread falls from someone's mouth, or he's crossed by a deer, that's something that it has nothing to do with the conclusion that the person wants to reach from it. But if it's something where it's much more evident and obvious, such as where the ink spills over the tshuva, so then it is permissible to derive from there an understanding that the tshuva should not be publicized. The same would be true in the case of the Chazon Ish, where he was interrupted from his meal multiple times,
And the same could be true, perhaps, where a woman's get will constantly get messed up.
One of the related prohibitions in the Torah is known as ov. In English, this is called necromancy, and it refers to the practice of talking to the spirits of dead people and to bring up those spirits for the purpose of revealing what would be in the future. One of the most fascinating stories in the Law of Tanakh is that of Shaul HaMelech at the end of his life. It's brought down toward the end of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Ches, where it is recounted that Shaul went on a mission to kill out any of the witches in Eretz Yisrael. But then came a point when the Pelishtim were preparing to battle against him, and Shaul wanted guidance of what he should do, and he tried in many methods of communicating with Hashem, and he received no response. So he felt he was left with no choice other than to bring back the spirit of his teacher, of Shmuel HaNavi. Now there's a problem here, because only a balas ov, only a witch would be able to bring back the spirit of Shmuel, and Shaul had really killed out all of the witches. So Shaul inquired whether they could find any witch that was still left in the land, and one of his men advised him that there was still one hidden witch. Chazal tell us that his advisor was Avner ben Ner, and the witch to whom he was referring was Avner's own mother. So Shaul dressed up like a common person, and he went to visit this witch in Ein Dor. Shaul arrived at her home together with two of his men, and he requested that she bring up the dead for him. And the woman responded. She said, "Don't you know that Shaul already killed out all of the witches in the land? Why are you trying to ensnare me?" So Shaul swore to her that nothing bad would happen to her as a result of this. The Psukim relate that Shaul asked her to bring back Shmuel HaNavi, and when she brought him back and she saw him, she shrieked and she turned to Shaul and said, "You deceived me. You're the king. You're Shaul." Chazal explained that the way that necromancy worked is that the witch would get to see the vision of the one whom she called up, while the person who is requesting her services would get to hear the voice but not see. So in other words, the witch would see and not hear, and the one requesting would hear and not see. So she saw Shmuel HaNavi together with another man who happened to have been Moshe Rabbeinu, because Shmuel was afraid that he was being called to judgment, and he requested that Moshe should defend him. Now normally, Chazal explained, when the dead are brought back, they come upside down, unless they are in the presence of a king, in which case they come right side up. And the woman was able to see that Shmuel came right side up, so she knew that the person who was asking must be the king. So Shaul reassured her that she has nothing to fear, but she described the vision that she saw, and it looked exactly the way Shaul remembered Shmuel HaNavi to be. So he fell on his face, and Shmuel said to him, "Why did you do this? Why did you bring me here? Bring me back down to earth?" So Shaul explained he was in great pain. He was struggling because the Pelishtim were battling and Hashem was not responding to him, and he needed some guidance. So Shmuel responded to Shaul that Hashem is angry with you, and he will tear away the kingdom from your hand, and he will give it to David. Shaul was told that he and his sons will go out to do battle, and they are going to die in battle. And this is indeed what happened the following day.
So the Mefarshim ask, what was the justification? What was the heter for Shaul to inquire from a Balas Ov? The Torah says it's forbidden. So the Netziv explains that normally it is forbidden for a person to go to a Balas Ov. But at a time of Milchama, when it's an issue of Sakonis Nefashos, and the person needs to inquire about the future, it is justified to seek out a Balas Ov. But certainly under any other circumstances, when it's not a question of Sakana, when it's not a danger to life, it is forbidden to use this form of sorcery, as well as any other type of witchcraft. One can perhaps summarize the entire discussion of witchcraft and sorcery in halacha with five simple words. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem Elokecha. We should just be pure and complete with God and not try to look for superstitions and forms of black magic and any type of alternate ways of connecting to the metaphysical. We should just learn Torah and do mitzvahs and call out to Hashem when we need Him and not try to seek alternate methods to access the metaphysical.